It's All Over Now, Baby Blue by Bob Dylan.
You must leave now, take what you need, you think will last. But whatever you wish to keep, you better grab it fast.
Welcome.
He understands you, orphan, with his gun.
To another journey.
Crying like a fire in the sun.
Podcast.
Look out, the saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue.
Hi, I'm Mito. Thanks for listening. Yeah, that was Bob Dylan. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Animals also did a version of that. And both versions are great. But I like this one just a little more. So I chose this one.
Is drawing crazy patterns on sheets. The sky too is folding under you. And it's all over now, baby blue.
All right, thanks for listening. So So anyway, great song. I recommend adding that one to your playlist for sure. So I guess the first thing I want to talk about tonight is the Georgia Guidestones and their destruction. So one blew up, I guess, and then the authorities decided to destroy them all because of risk, I think, of them being blown up. And Jimmy Corsetti of Bright Insight does a great on YouTube, does a great show on it. Or he goes into the Guidestones and what they're about, and there's a lot to them Guidestones for sure. They were put there by secret group or secret society. And nobody quite knows who did it, but they're suspicious of Ted Turner. And it's Marxism and population control, what those Guidestones are about. And one of the things on it says keep population 500 million of Earth. So we're in, 7-8 billion, something like that. That's quite a few people to cut out if you want to keep your population that small. And so those Guidestones are weird. And I guess there's something buried under them too. At least on the Guidestones, it says something about a time capsule. And don't know if they're going to reveal what's in that time capsule or not. But there is some something in it. Know that for sure. And if you're a fan of the Guidestones, well, then maybe do a little more research on it and see if you are or not. And if you think there's some kind of mystery, they're really not. They were built in modern times. They showed up one day in Georgia and with all these, proclamations or, commandments or whatever you want to call it, but rules or ways to live or a guide. it's kind of ridiculous what they say, but it is what it is. It's kind of a weird world we live in anyway, and that's one of a weird thing about the world. I always You know, you look at the ancients and how they put up all these stone monuments, and you think, well, maybe we should do something like that. If there's ever a, you know, some kind of, I don't know, cataclysm or catastrophe or something, then we'll have something behind, we'll left something behind. But we have enough stuff out there. I think even if there were a cataclysm and it was a world-ending event, there would be traces of something. Plus, we've got stuff on other planets and the moon and satellites and all kinds of stuff. So I'm sure if it were to, something were to go down, well, I think we're covered on at least having a little bit piece of us left behind. I hope not. You know, the odds are that something will happen. Maybe not for a while. Who knows? Nobody knows, really. But I don't know. It seems like the last one, at least a smaller one, was about 6,000 years ago, the flood. And then about 5,000 years before that was some kind of major event that caused extinction of just about everything. And then 1,500 years before that one, or 1,000 years before that one, a big one happened also. And then I think 20,000 years or so prior to that one. So, and then it goes back. If you just keep going back, you keep seeing them. Randall Carlson has a great episode on, I think the channel name is Sacred Geometry, but I'm not completely sure. He does a good speech on the pyramids and on also catastrophe. I mean, he's just a good speaker and good channel anyway. But yeah, if you want to look into kind of the history of climate disasters, or not climate disasters, but cataclysms happening to the planet, that's a good one. And then there's the abortion ruling. And I'm not wondering if it's kind of a, because, you know, gas prices have gone up, inflation has started, and just everything's going up, and our president in the U.S. is ridiculous, and I'm just wondering if that was kind of, it's, I don't know if you'd call it a conspiracy, but I think it's just kind of a F you to current you know, president or whatever, executive branch or whatever you want to call it, just because of all this other crap going on. And I'm just not wondering, you know, who knows. I mean, it's probably is a conspiracy surrounding all of this, including the prices, fuel prices and all that, because why? You know, I mean, they blame the war in Ukraine, but I don't think so. You know, if there was a war in, you know, between, I don't know, the Eskimos in Alaska, they would raise fuel prices and have a reason. You know, it's just a better reason for prices to go up. I don't know if it's a conspiracy to kind of keep us broke or something because we're saving up too much money, we're too rich, who knows. But, and not to mention there's riots and protests all around the world that we don't hear about in the U.S., but they're everywhere. And so there's a lot of crap going on in the world. And we just got to stay positive through it all. That's all there is to it. And I really shouldn't even talk about it, but I am. So, but on a better note, today's July 11th. So tomorrow, July 12th, NASA is scheduled to release their very first image of the James Webb telescope in space. So really looking forward to that. And I saw a video on it, and apparently that telescope is so good that it could possibly detect artificial light on planets, other planets, light years away planets. So it could possibly detect, I guess, if there is life out there, which we all know there is. I mean, it's it's silly to think that there isn't. It's just how advanced the life is all I wonder. And the universe is pretty old, so you'd think there's at least some advanced species out there. And, you know, and the further and deeper the telescope looks, which is supposed to look like 13 billion years back in terms of light and time, I guess, this is kind of the same thing. Then it could detect advanced or civilizations possibly that came and gone again. You know, who knows? I mean, who knows what it's going to find, but it's going to be cool either way. Hubble's freaking awesome. So now we got this one and plus the other telescopes that are out there. And so this is going to, and this one's really advanced. So who knows what it's going to show, but it's going to be awesome. I know that. Speaking of light and time and all that, there's a experiment, I guess in the 1800s, it's called the double slit experiment. If you haven't heard of it, it's in physics, and basically they shine a light through a slit, take a piece of cardboard, cut a slit in it, shine a light through it, or shine a light, and it shows, you know, a line on the other side, the shape of the slit. But then if you put a second slit on and you shine that light through, all of a sudden the light shows in these weird bumps or waves. And it's kind of like waves on the surface of water is the way to explain it. If you throw a rock in, and it creates these waves, and you throw another rock right next to where that rock landed, and those waves intersect with the other waves and kind of creates these lines. That's kind of how the experiment showed up. But it goes even deeper. They go into photons or atoms or something through a double slit, and it comes up with these weird results where it'll shoot all these atoms. Scientists shot atoms like they're an atom gun or whatever into the double slit. And what it did is it showed up like this figure of five lines. But then they started watching it. And when you, I guess they, you know, set up a machine to do it and just let it go and do its own thing and showed up the five lines. And then scientists watched it happen. And it showed two lines instead of five. And they repeated it over and over again. And when they're not looking or when something's not looking, five lines pop up. When somebody does watch, two lines, one for each side of the slit, pops up or appears. It's a really odd experiment. It's kind of a mind-blown experiment, and I guess it's the basis of like quantum physics. It's really neat. It's really fascinating to why would atoms, just because you're watching it, change their randomness as if maybe it's not random and atoms know what they're doing. It's really weird, really cool. There's a lot of stuff on it on YouTube, so you can find it, or on anywhere on the internet you can find it if you don't like YouTube. Rumble is a good one, or Reddit, or wherever. But double slit experiment, that's all you'll need. Let's see. I guess a few more things. So one thing is Karnak Temple in Egypt. It's this ancient temple, you know, from dynastic Egypt. It's real beautiful. It's real big. It's got all these columns, but it's got all these megalithic structures that, apologize for the squeaks, in the basement and the floor. So people are walking upstairs. But anyway, Karnak, the temple there, it's real neat. And parts of it, you can tell, were built by ancient Egyptians. And parts of it, you can tell, were built by some higher technology, like by machines or something that had to have, like, power tools or some technology to build it the way these this temple was built. And so it's real beautiful too. But the reason I'm talking about it is Karnak is 23.5 degrees off of true east-west. So if it were tilted 23.5 degrees to east or west, it would be perfect, and line up with true east-west today. But, oh, about 20,000 years ago or so, our Earth was not on a tilt. And if you don't know, but Earth is on a tilt, and you know, it has an axis that wobbles, and on average it's about 23.5 degrees off of its axis. Whereas if the point was 0 degrees, then Karnak Temple would line up perfectly with east west north south. So if it were but it is 23.5 degrees off of zero, which is the exact rate that our Earth is tilted at. So they say that Karnak is, you know, a few thousand, 3,500 or so BC, 3,000 BC or so is when it was built. But 20,000 years ago is when it was true zero. And and so parts of that temple may be 3,000 3,500 BC, but I think the temple itself is probably a little bit older. Just how, like, Robert Schock said the Sphinx is older, and pyramids are probably older, and all of this. It's because of this, why things aren't lined up perfectly with north-south, and but they would be, and how there's obvious machine marks and obvious way things are built that would have been impossible for dynastic Egyptians to have built, or it impossible to what they're saying, where, you know, the pyramids were built in 20 years, or the Great Pyramid was built in 20 years. Well, that would be impossible. There's, I don't know, over a million blocks in the pyramid, Great Pyramid. And each block, I'm not sure, but weighs at least two tons, I'm guessing. Maybe more. And then they're perfectly shaped. So, you know, they're flat on all sides. It's just something that I think a civilization without electricity, without modern machinery, and with only manpower and copper chisels and rocks as hammers, would have a very difficult time of building, especially in that time frame. You know, I don't know. We think we know things, and we don't. Nobody knows anything, really. We don't know anything. We think we know things, but we really don't. And, you know, even these people who are arguing that the pyramids are much older and that there's obvious machinery being built and or that you use to create these things and the age and all this stuff. You know, on one hand, they're right. Yeah, they're obviously older. But that's about where it should end, because really, we don't know how old. I mean, we can guess by the age of the Earth or by cataclysms and by, like, Göbekli Tepe found some, they were able to test, like, some skulls and things like that from there, which were 11,500 BC is what they were dated to. So we can kind of have some ideas, but then again, you know, they could be confused and see the pyramids back then and go, hey, you know, these were built. You know, we don't know when these were built either, but then again, who knows? Maybe they were. And that's what my point is, that we don't know anything. We don't know shit. But, you know, and I think that's kind of the attitude we should take towards things. Like, don't be definitive about a lot of things. Just kind of be like, yeah, it's definitely something that was built with advanced technology. And it's definitely something that, you know, was, you know, had to have, or built, you know, a certain time period or something. But that's it. And then not be so stubborn or so definitive in our in what we know and what we don't know, or in what we know. I think answers, you know, I think that's kind of, it's all about the journey, our lives, all about the journey, not about the destination necessarily. And that we need to just kind of take things, take it easy. Take it one step at a time, one stride at a time, and, you know, find ourselves. I think that's kind of our purpose in life, or supposed to be our purpose. Supposed to be our meaning, and we're distracted by so many things. So many things, so many distractions out there, and I'm distracted too. You know, I like to watch certain TV programs, and I work and have a job, and I get upset by, you know, certain things going on either in my life or in the world. And I think we all need to take a step back. I know I need to do this, and find our inner selves, you know, maybe meditate or find a way to kind of find some deeper meaning, or, you know, find religion or spirituality more than religion. I think there's a lot of problems with modern religion too, but I'll save for another show. But find yourself, your true self, find meaning, and find love. I mean, that's, you know, very important. Freaking, just take a deep breath and do that. We'll be fine, and we'll make it through our lives and kind of find who we are, or who we want to be, or who we're supposed to be, or why we're even here. You know, that's a tough, deep question. Now, if you listen to the Lex Friedman podcast, at the end of his show, he not all of his guests, but most of his guests, or a lot of them anyway, he'll ask them, what is the meaning of life? So he'll have some real smart, educated, or really bright, talented people on his show and ask them that question. And, you know, they kind of give the answer that I just gave, which is, you know, love and family and to find our meaning, you know. So, yeah. So, anyway, there you have it. Thank you for listening. I haven't recorded in a while. But I'm recording tonight. And I'll be back soon. And if you have any, if you want to get a hold of me, I'm on Twitter at UFOUAP Sighting. And that's the best way to get a hold of me. There's other ways. Just find me there. If you're not on Twitter, I got a website, UFO.fish, UFO.fish. And there's ways to get a hold of me on that. All right. Well, have a great night. And I guess I'll leave you with some love and with a little more of this song. Thank you. With love.
They're all rowing home. Your empty-handed army is all going home. Your lover who just walked out the door has taken all his blankets from the floor. The carpet too is moving under you, and it's all over now, baby blue.
Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.